It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. In a separating and a dividing, and what you said, Vicki, you know, to be holy by some theological definition is to be set apart unto God. And so that's exactly what it is that we're set apart unto godliness. We're divided from the sinful nature and set apart unto God, where we are, where oftentimes it's easier for us to hate than it is to love, but love is God. To curse rather than bless, but God blesses. And the more that we take on His nature, the more we find that His nature is natural. Until we find that His nature is natural, we find ourselves going against His nature, and that's not natural, because that doesn't feel right. That's why a two-year-old looks before he takes something that he knows he's not supposed to take, because there's a naturalness of what God wants, actually. In Luke, Jesus is talking to the folks, talking to his disciples. He is trying to teach them some things, trying to get them to see some things. And we all know that he did many things that they didn't quite understand. And we also know that they sometimes sort of pretended to understand. You know what I mean? We know that they were with him. They didn't make public statements. When they were alone with him, they would say, "Would you explain this to us?" In public, you know, he did things and they probably just stood there like, "Oh yeah, we got it. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, perfectly. Understand it completely." And then they got alone and they said, "We don't have a clue." Or they would whisper among themselves, you know. They would act like they were having a little prayer meeting among themselves, but really what they were saying, "What's up with him? How does he do this stuff? Don't let anybody know. We don't know, because we're with him, man. We're with him." Sometimes as Christians, we can get caught in that same sort of a thinking of, "Oh yeah, I understand," while we're thinking, "I don't get it at all." You know? We've all got things we don't get. If we don't have things we don't get, if anybody here doesn't have anything you don't get, could I have your seat and you take my seat? Because there's things we just don't get. There's just things I don't understand why, if God doesn't want anyone to perish, people go ahead and perish. I don't get it. Because you and I, really, if we had the power and the authority that He does, we could fix everything all at once. Or at least we think we could. But what would we really do? I don't know what we would really do. I think that is why Jesus said, "I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do." Now he was all man and all God. But he was on this earth in flesh to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And so as he was being guided by the Holy Spirit, he was doing what God said. He could have healed every single person that was sick. And sometimes he healed everybody there that was sick. And sometimes he healed only a few. And sometimes, like when he stepped up to the pool of Bethesda, he stepped up there and he picked out one person. He said, "Would you like to be made whole? What about all those other people laying around the pool? How come he only healed that one?" So we could see something. But I don't know what I see in that. You know? I could use that to say, "Well, see, he heals some and he doesn't heal some." But I have to come back to the thing that says, "But he wants me to pray for everybody, because he said, you go into the whole world and you lay hands on the sick and you cast out devils. And, you know, you set the captives free. And so that's my assignment, but at the same time, that's all of our assignment. At the same time, we've got to be listening, because there are times when the Holy Spirit will say go, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will say no. And so we have to be listening at the same time. Well, Jesus, this is just after he sent out the 72. He had 12, now he sends out 72. Can anyone imagine the stir that that caused? Have you ever thought of what the 12 thought about 60 more getting to go out? Human nature is, hey, we're the ones that have been with him. How come these guys are getting to go out? I mean, we know James and John said, we want to sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus. We want to be right there. That made the guys mad, didn't it? So amongst the 12, that made the guys mad that they wanted something more. So now you got the 12, and now you got Jesus saying, I'm going to send out 72 of you. And the 72, the other 60, and maybe it was 72 totally different ones, and the 12 just sat around, I don't know. So let's just say he said, you 72. Pick a partner, go out, do the stuff. And of those 72, how many said, whoa, wait a minute. We don't mind watching, but you want us to do it? And they casually went out. But we know that by the time they came back, they were fired up. They said, man, even the demons are subject to us. That's so cool. See, that's what happens when we actually do the word and we see the response of God to the word. It's kind of a, wow, that's so cool. And the enemy comes and fights against that and says, well, that's a fluke. You know, sometimes people expect bad things to happen so much that something good happens and they don't really enjoy what's good happens because they figure something bad's coming at them again. Instead of just saying, wow, there's a shift, there's a separating, there's a dividing, this is something good's going to happen now, and I'm going to expect something good next and something good next and something good next. Maybe. I mean, this is what the Bible tells us that we should do. This is what the Bible tells us that our response should be to the Word of God. The response to the Word of God should be that by faith we understand that the Word works, and so when we see it in the Word, we can do it and it's going to work. Do you believe that the Word works? I mean, we believe that the Word of God works. Now then, we've got to overcome the thought, well, it works for some people. No, the Word of God is the Word of God. God's no respecter of persons. His Word works. God is always about something. He's always doing something. Jesus said, my Father's never stopped. My Father always works and I always work. And they are the Word, the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by God. There was nothing that was made without God. Boom. And so the Word works. And so when we believe the Word works, then we work the Word. Not work the Word over, but work the Word. Apply it to our lives. Okay, if it works, and that's what works, and that works better than anything that I will, I'm going to apply that to my life. I'm going to put that in. And so when they came back and they were all excited that Jesus said, man, here's the deal. I saw Satan falling from the sky. This is Luke 10:18. And he's the enemy, but know that I have given you more power than he has. Jesus said, know that I have given you more power than Satan has. You see, people know Satan's powerful. We see his power to influence people. We see his power to possess people. The people in ISIS are not normal people. They are not normal people. They are possessed people. They are demonized people. They need to be set free. We need to pray that they be set free. Because see, here's the deal. If they're set free, their hearts change and they quit. And then they can spread that. If you crush 10 of them, 100 more will rise up. Because Satan is a divider and a multiplier. You can't kill enough of them to stop them, but if you change their hearts, that's what makes the difference. Going to all the world. Okay. I don't want to go undercover with them to pray for them, but I want to pray for them from afar. I don't know if I'd be honestly say that I care about them, but I care about their souls. I care about their souls. And I care about the people that they brutalize and that they torture. And with a heart change, they'll quit. And that's what Jesus sends us out to do. To go with our changed hearts to help change hearts. And so we can pray. We can pray. We can be thankful that we're not where the trouble is. I'm thankful I'm not where the trouble is. But I can't just sit here and say, well, the trouble's not here, so it's not my problem. It's not my problem, but it is my problem because I'm free to pray about it. I'm free to attack. I'm free to bombast the powers of darkness. I'm free to take the sword of the Spirit to cut off the tentacles of the Leviathan. I'm free to do that. I can say that here. And at this particular time, there's not much possibility that they're going to come through the door and kill me for it. But I can imagine them coming through the door to kill me for it in the power of God. Slaying them. Not dead, but delivering them. I can imagine that. I think that'd be so cool. Don't you think that'd be cool? Don't you think it would be cool if one of these days a video was posted, you know, and they weren't burning somebody to death, but somebody was going to do it, and suddenly they go, no, we can't do this. I just had a dream about Jesus last night. Let's let him go. Let's all just praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? You know, I don't even know if a newscaster would publicize it. You know, I mean, why? Because they couldn't understand it. It just wouldn't be good news because they think that people wouldn't like that news. But you know what? I think it'd go viral. I think it'd get a gazillion hits of people saying, you can't believe this. Look what happened today. The knife turned rubber and everybody began to praise the Lord. God quenched the fire and the cage doors opened and the guy came out and they hugged and they praised the Lord. Wouldn't that be amazing? It'll happen someday. And maybe it'll happen sooner if we'll believe it and we'll pray. I don't know how God's going to do it, but we can pray. Because when we begin to see that we can pray, you see, we can pray. And there isn't any perfect way to pray. You want to know how to pray? Ask God. Because I don't have any idea how to pray about that. I just can fantasize about it. But what a great plan it would be. And so he said, I'm thankful that you have hidden the things. Now Jesus is talking to his Father. He said, Lord, I'm thankful that you've hidden these things from those that are so wise and smart. But you have shown them to people who are like little children. Yes, Father, you did this because it's what you really wanted to do. Jesus said you got to become as a little child. You just got to receive it. You see, he shows us those things when we are just like little children. We'll just take the word because Dad says so. This is what Daddy says. If Daddy says that it's right. If Daddy says that it's good. You know, when we were little children, that's how we felt. Then we go through a stage where we're a little older and a little wiser, and we're not so sure that Daddy knows anything. Now, I'm not talking about Heavenly Father now. But yes, Heavenly Father too, but Earthly Father, you know. As an earthly father, I have experienced with my children where they just became so much smarter than me. And everything that I said suddenly wasn't the answer to everything. Everything that I said wasn't necessarily the answer to everything. You know what I mean? Anybody else experience that? And how do we feel about that? When suddenly everything that we say is not so important. How do we feel about, man, I'm knocking everything around today. Things are falling on.
Can you just lay it down, Roger? That's fine.
Oh, no. I think it'll stick here. This isn't slick. There we go. See? It's got a nicer background anyway. Yeah. But you know, I mean, and so what is it like when we believe that everything God says is true, like a little child, and then we get older and we get wiser, and well, it didn't seem to work this time, so maybe it's really not that true, and so now we're going to figure it out. Well, there isn't any sense in us figuring it out. It's okay to not know. I don't know what day Jesus is going to return. I'm okay with that. Some people seem to think that if they solve that, they will have everything solved. We were watching a TV show the other night, and on that TV show, some guy had been poisoned. And they know how that poison works, and they knew how long he was going to live. And so they gave him a slip so he would know what day it was going to be. He didn't want to look at it. He wanted somebody else to look at it. What would you do different if you knew what day you were going to die? I don't know about you, but that would mess me up. Then I would have to figure out what I was going to do before then. Then I would have to figure out if it was right for me to do all those things before then. And, you know, I mean, it would just be too weird. It would just be too weird. That's why God said it's appointed unto man once to die. So we can all say, I'm going to die someday. Isn't that exciting? It is to me. I don't dread that day one little bit. I do my best not to pray for it to hurry. You know, I mean, because some days it would just, why not? You know? But then why? There's things we don't know. And we don't need to know. Jesus said, my Father has given me all things. No one knows who the Son is. Only the Father knows, and only the Son knows who the Father is. And the only people who will know about the Father, those the Son chooses to tell. And then Jesus turned to his followers. They were there alone with him. And he said, it's a great blessing for you to know what you now see. It's a great blessing for you. A great blessing for you to see what you now see. It's a great blessing to see what we now see. If we can just walk in all that we now see, it's a great blessing. But what we now see is separating and dividing, and there's more to see. You know, sometimes you catch a glimpse of something, and you really want to see what it is. And sometimes you catch a glimpse of something, and you don't necessarily want to see what it is. And sometimes you catch a glimpse of something and you just sort of ignore it. You know? Yeah, like I said, Vicki looks for things that I don't even look for. But they're important enough to her that she points them out. And if she points them out, since they're important to her, then they're important to me. And so whether I sincerely look or I don't, you know, it's like, all of a sudden, she comes running through the room where I'm praying and reading my Bible, and she's looking out the window, and she's going out the door, and I know what she's doing. She's going to see the sunrise. She doesn't see it very often, so you got to understand. I'm just kidding. But, you know, and so she does this, oh, have you seen the sunrise? I lean out my window and I look, you know. But sometimes if she's too excited, I have to get up and go look out the same window she's looking so I get the same view that she does. Because in all honesty, the window right by the chair where I sit to pray and read my Bible doesn't give me the same view as that window over there. And, you know, and she's right. It really is beautiful and it's nice to see, but I see and then I go back to what I was doing because what I was doing to me is more important than looking at something. But I still, because it's important to her. We see, when something's important to us, I mean, and she knows that it's not really, you know, has me dancing when she sees it, but that doesn't stop her from saying, oh, have you seen it? Because it's still important to her. She doesn't just ignore me and think, oh, you're just too stupid to look. She keeps getting me to look, you know. And this is the thing, when we see the kingdom of God, you know, all we can do is keep giving glimpses. And we can't worry about whether somebody else enjoys it or not. It's just too exciting, and we're too blessed by it, and we're too sure of it that we've just got to. We can't help ourselves. She could no more just sit in her chair and look at that sunrise and just go back to. She could not do that. She's got to get up and go somewhere and get a picture. She's got to get another angle on it. She's got, because it's important to her. Blessed are you that you can see what you see now. And if you see and it's important, then there's others that need to see it too. And that's just everyday life. You don't have to go hunting for people who need to see it. You just need to be able to point it out. God's good. God's bigger. Our God reigns. He wins. I don't know everything, but I know him. I don't know him as well as I want to know him, but I know him, and I know that you can know him, and I know that you know him in ways that I don't know him, and so we can just understand him together. Blessed are you because you can see what you see now, and then once we see, you see because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but it's still, Jesus said, it's really good that you can see. Because it's in the seeing and in the experience that we come to the place where we can believe without seeing. And now, there's things that we know that we can't explain how we know, we just know. And it doesn't have to make sense to us, it doesn't have to make sense to anybody else either. But have you ever just bumped into somebody that just knew the same way that you knew and neither one of you could explain it? One of those deals where you say, yeah, you know what I mean. And you go, yeah, I do. And that's kind of the end of it, except for, oh yeah, you know, yeah, I do know what you mean. I still can't explain it, but I just, yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah. Guys, remember Raleigh Bauer? Raleigh Bauer, he used to call me and we'd pray together and we'd get done praying and he'd say, man, could you feel that? Could you feel that? Oh, man, when you prayed, I could just feel it. It was just coming through the phone and I'm going, I'm sure glad it was good for you. It's like, yeah, I prayed, but I mean, it was like, I was thinking, God, if I'm the one that's praying, I wish I'd get it like he did. You know, boy, he would just be, he'd sometimes be just speechless, or he'd just start speaking in tongues. Oh, man, did you feel that, Pastor? Did you feel that? You know, 6 months later, I'd see him. Oh, you remember when you prayed? Oh, man, you remember that? Remember how you felt? I'm going, I got to be honest with you, man. You know, no, I don't, but praise God, you know. But then there are other times when nothing is said, but you just sense the presence of God. You've got that assurance, and you go, yeah, that's good. You know? And there are those glimpses of things that God gives us. God keeps that dream about the place just continually comes up. Things happen and God says, remember that part of the dream. Remember that part of the dream. Remember that part of the dream. And where everything fits into that, you know, and I'm going, wow, one of these days we're going to get that whole dream covered, you know. But it was like that was a glimpse. Just a glimpse. And if we catch just a glimpse of his glory and we just continue to look into it and we cast down all those things that try to keep us from it and we just say, you know what? I felt the life. I want the life. I'm going for the life. I want to see more. I want to know more. I want to grow more because I need more. I need more. You see, if we lose that need for God, we're in trouble. Because if we lose that need for God, we become a wide open target for the enemy to then displace the need and to come and feed our fears and to come and steal and kill and destroy because we quit. We quit seeking like we once sought. You know what happens if you take a break. You know what happens. Doubts come, fears come. Things fall apart and the enemy says, God's forgotten you, God's never forgotten us. Jesus said, it's good for you to see the things that you see now because they saw what they saw. They just came back from seeing that the power of God worked through them just like it worked through Jesus. And I know that we all need the power of God in our lives. We need his guidance to pray. We need his wisdom to live. We need his provision. We need his protection. We just need God. And we don't need to be ashamed to say, hey, I just need God. I just need God. I don't need anything else. I just need God. I got a kick out of one of the ladies at the nursing home that all through the football season, she had this Seahawk sign on the back of her chair, and it became more and more tattered all the time. And just before the Super Bowl, I said, well, we better get you a new sign. Oh, this one's gone the whole season. And the other night I was out there, and I just told her, I said, man, I'm really sorry. She said, you know, I don't feel that way. They were so evenly matched that it was okay whoever won it. I said, well, God bless you. I don't feel that way, but it's okay, you know. But I mean, you know, the thing is that wasn't her source of life. She could live with that. You see, God's our source of life. And boy, are we fortunate if we can see that. And boy, are we fortunate if we don't ignore any glimpse that we get. And I not only want glimpses that I get, but I want glimpses that you get. I like glimpses that anybody gets. That's why I love to read things that other people have experienced or things that they've seen. And I like to see those things and I like to hear about those things and I like to see how those things can apply to me. I like that. And that's why then, and when we like that, when we look in the Bible, we catch glimpses in the Bible. We catch glimpses of how Paul went, how David went. We catch glimpses. I mean, hey, there's something to be learned from all of it. I mean, I can look at Samson and I can say, boy, he went bad, but God still raised him up. So there's still hope. Blessed are you. Blessed are you if you see even a little bit. And I just want to encourage you to take that word that Judy had this morning, with what you see and see it dividing and multiplying, dividing and multiplying, dividing and multiplying, dividing and multiplying, dividing and multiplying. This week, for the first time, I heard somebody refer to the movie that forever made me hate horror movies. I was like 5 years old when it came out, and it was The Blob. And my brother was older, and it was at the movie theater in Highmore, and that movie gave me nightmares. All it was jelly coming out of air vents, you know? But it ate everything that got in its way, you know? And this person referred to this, and they referred to it as what happens with ISIS. They were talking about this, how it's just, because The Blob, everything, anything they did to it, it just ate it up. Anything they set at it, it just ate it up. But our God reigns, so His blob's greater than the enemy's blob. And His goodness is oozing out on the earth. And in that goodness, it is overcoming and overtaking. And this is the confidence that we have, that His goodness is overtaking. We may see advertised that evil is overtaking, but evil is not winning, folks. And how fortunate we are if we see that. How fortunate we are if we see that. Because then we can say, no, no, no. God is good. God is great. And we thank Him for His word. And we thank Him for what He does for our lives. And we thank Him for the privilege of not only being blessed, but of being blessings. So pray and believe and look and see. God said, prove me, see if I won't keep all my promises. God wants us just to give Him an opportunity to keep all of His promises. Blessed are you because you can see. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for that picture of the dividing and the multiplying. Thank you that we are holy, that we've been called to be separated unto you and under your way and under your will. Help us to see that in everything, Lord, to see every opportunity. And we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.